Please bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have blessed us with another beautiful Sabbath day. Our senior class is especially grateful to you for surrounding us with the strong arms of love throughout our elementary and high school years. We ask that you bless our service this morning. May we all meet you in the kingdom soon, someday. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome friends, family, church members, fellow students and teachers to this church on the day that the Lord has given us. We, the graduating class of 2015 of Bakersfield Adventist Academy, welcome you to our baccalaureate church service and hope that you will be blessed by your worship here today. We would like to thank the Central SDA Church for hosting this event. Welcome and may God bless our worship here today.
Will the children please come down for the children's story?
Hello, boys and girls. Happy Sabbath. All right. How are you today? All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a certain class who went on a certain trip and had a certain event happen. Now, this class, to be able to go on this trip, had to work very... very hard to be able to go on this trip. They had to sell corn dogs, go to festivals, and do a lot of other stuff over a period of 4 years. So their last year, they could go on a very important and special trip. Well, this class did go on that trip. And they got to go on a river rafting adventure. Who likes rivers? All right. Well, when we got there, that was our class, by the way. When we got there, the guide told us that when we're coming around a turn or like a little small rapid, to lean into whatever object that you're going to hit. So, no big deal. All right. Going to be easy. So off on the adventure we set. Paddling down. Uh-oh. Here comes the first rapid. Me and my partner were the last ones to go. All the other kids made it through, and there we are, ready to go. But then our boat started to turn, and I started getting scared. And then we hit a rock. And instead of leaning in, we leaned away. Into the water we went. And the river was still pulling us. So I come up, and my partner comes up, and I start swimming towards the boat. Well, walking, because it's pretty shallow. And then a thought crosses my mind. Where is my partner? And then I hear my name, Jeremiah. And I feel a hand grab my shoulder. And I turn around. Oh, there's my partner. She's right behind me. Except she looked very, very scared. So I was like, oh no, I better get to the boat. So I grab the boat and we try getting on, but we can't get on. It just keeps flipping over. So I say, okay, I'm going to go on the other side. And you're going to jump on when I lift it up. And I'm going to lift it back like that. And so she gets on, and I get on, and we're going. And it just reminds me of how whenever we get in a tight spot, we can always be able to grab God's shoulder so he can pull us to safety. Okay, bow your heads and close your eyes for prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for always being there for us when we are in times of need. Thank you for everything. In your name, amen.
The Apostle Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:12-13. Local congregations have also learned to be content in all situations. Sometimes we don't seem to have what we need, yet the Lord does not forget us. Sometimes we don't seem to have the money for our ministries, yet the Lord blesses us. The reason we are content is because God gives us the strength we need. That was Paul's experience, and that can be ours too. Today's offering is for our local church. Ask the Lord to help you decide what you should give, and remember that whatever you give, our church will be able to fulfill its mission because God strengthens us. Also, a special thanks to Central Church for continuing to support BAA with a church subsidy. Thank you for returning God's tithe and offering today for the local church budget.
Mr. Matt Moreland has been a dear friend, coach, and mentor to all of us. We respect and honor you for your dedication and service on behalf of Christian Seventh-day Adventist Education.
Mr. Moreland, you have volunteered countless hours in coaching, sponsored our mission trip, and the trip to Phoenix for the Generation Youth for Christ Convention. You have encouraged us to serve God and live triumphantly as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Thank you for speaking to us today and sharing of your love for the Lord.
All right. Please open your Bible with me to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Good morning, happy Sabbath. I'm very happy to be here this morning. This is a little bit different from coaching, so hopefully I don't lose my voice up here. But I want to thank the class of 2015 for inviting me here to speak. I'm very honored that you chose me to come and give the sermon today, even though it's my first time giving a sermon. But you guys mean a lot to us, to Sharice and I and our kids, and we're really excited to see you graduate this weekend. And to the parents, I want to thank you for believing in Adventist education and sharing your children with us. Like I said, they mean so much to us. They're such good role models to my kids, and they've been such a blessing to us. So thank you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. We pray that you will be with each one of these students as they get ready to take the next step in their journey to college. Please bless each one of them. Be with me as I speak today. Guide and direct me in all I do. In your holy name, amen. What a year. What a group. It's really cool to see this group together. This year they grew a little bit. I was really happy to see Ethan come back and Jeremiah to join the class again. We even got a new recruit with Belen, broken collarbone and all. I was glad to see this group grow together over the year. We did a lot of cool things. We did a lot of outreach together. Other than sports, I mean, we did a lot of sports. I think I coached almost everyone up here. And not only that, we went on a mission trip to Arizona. I don't know if you guys seen pictures on that. And then after that, we went to GYC. And we were really blessed with all the things that we did. It was seriously so much fun. I've never laughed and cried so much in all the years that I've been here. This is my eighth year. It seriously was so much fun. And I know you guys are probably gonna say, Coach, you say that every year, that this was the best year. But it's true. For everything that we did this year, it was so much fun. And it just seems like every year that I help out at the school, it keeps getting better and better. And guys, don't make fun of me for crying. I know you see me cry a lot at school. So I'm gonna try not to cry today. Choices. I know you guys are all excited. You graduate tomorrow, you're gonna be alumni. You guys are gonna have a lot of choices to make. I know you're like, okay, I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna choose the college I'm gonna go to, choose what major, I get to stay up as late as I want. I have all these choices. You do have these choices, and we hope that you're gonna make good choices, and you hope you learn from the bad choices that you've had. But you all have choices, and I know you're all looking excited. You're all excited to have them. Now, all those choices aren't gonna be available all the time, especially gentlemen. Once you get married, those choices go away. Then the girl is gonna be making that choice for you. So enjoy your time making this choice. I made a mistake. I went ahead and made a choice. And I had to really think about it and a lot, because that night when I was sleeping on the couch, I was like, man, why did I do that? You know? But it's with everything. I mean, hence why I'm wearing this suit. It wasn't my choice. My wife picked it out for me. But you're going to have choices. You're going to have a lot of choices to make, and they're going to be really important. You're going to go to college, what you're going to dress, who you're going to hang out with. They're going to be how you're going to talk, what you're going to do. There's a lot of choices you're going to be out there to make, and it's going to be tough. The reason why it's going to be hard, you guys, is the way society is going. Sin is infiltrating our younger ones at a younger and younger age. With technology, I mean, Facebook, movies, everything on TV you see nowadays, sin is sneaking into our lives, and it's masking itself to where it's harder and harder to differentiate what's right and wrong. So you guys have to be careful. And you have to lean on your foundation that your parents and your school and your church family has given you to help figure out what's right and what's wrong. I mean, you're gonna see sin masked under the name of love. You're gonna go to college and people are gonna say, it doesn't matter what you do. Who cares that you drink? As long as you love God. Who cares if you want to live with your girlfriend? Who cares if you have premarital sex? As long as you love. They're going to mask everything under love. Who cares if you change your body into something else? It's going to try to get you to accept these sins, masking under, as long as you love God, it doesn't matter. You guys, it's not true. God loves the sinner, but he has never loved the sin. And we're going to have to make that choice at the end, whether we're going to choose God or we're going to choose our sin. You cannot have both. That's why the Bible verse that you guys read today is actually one of my favorite memory verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because sometimes it's going to be hard. You know, like, man, this seems like it's okay. It seems okay, but if it doesn't go by the Bible, it's not. You got to trust in the Lord, and he will make your path straight. You know, you go to college, if you just focus on the Bible, you guys, just focus on what it says, trust in it, and it's going to make it that much easier, I promise you. Now, I was going to do this at the end, but we'll go ahead and do this now. We have a gift for you guys. Go ahead, juniors, can you bring up the gift for them? What we did is, you know, it's scary for us, not just the parents, but the teachers, your coaches. You guys were entrusted to us. God gave you guys to us to help raise and to lead you in God's word, to learn to love him. And it's scary for us because now you guys are about to embark on a new journey. You're going to be away from us, so we're not going to be able to influence you and to guide you. We've given you the tools. We need you to lean on your foundation, go back to your foundation when you run into choices you're going to have to make that are tough. So that's why we got you this study Bible. This is your foundation, you guys. Every situation that you come into in college and after college, every situation, the answer is right here. It's right here. Your names are on the front. It's got your class on the inside. And the inside, your church family helps get these Bibles. Your church family, your school family. Sharice and I, we wanted you to have this. Our names are in there, your school name, your home church phone name and phone number, the BAA's home phone number. It's all in here, but the answers are all right here. You could call us to check in, and we will pray with you. But all the answers, you guys just have to study. Anything you come across, there is a story in here. Anything you come across, the answer is right here. So it's going to talk about people that are faithful to God. There's a story in here. If you run into something with a relationship, there's a story in here. It's even going to talk about the mistakes. That way you do not have to repeat them. People that end up walking away from God, this will show you how to come back. And that's what we're praying for you guys. Stay faithful to God. Lean on your foundation. Stay with this. All right? Now the story I want to share with you today is found in Daniel 3. You guys could turn to there if you want. It's page 1009, because I have the same Bible as you guys. Thank you. I was hoping you guys couldn't hear how dry my mouth was. So here we are. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You have this king who is so full of himself, he built this huge golden image. And this king, his influence around him is negative. He put himself around people that encouraged him to do bad things. So they encouraged him, "King, let's call the whole nation together. Let's have everyone come and worship this golden image." He's like, "You know what? That's a good idea." So over here in verse 4, the herald cried out aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages." So see, they had the whole kingdom there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all came. They're walking over, they see each other, they come over. They're like, "What is going on? The king, what is he, crazy? He's revealing this big golden image." And so then the herald cried this out. He says, getting their attention, that this is the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. They got a huge choice to make right now, right? Because, "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately in the midst of the fiery furnace. This is life or death. So what did they do? They leaned on their foundation. They leaned on how they grew up. I mean, you look back when they first were captives there. They had the choice of like, "Hey, you guys, you need to eat what the king gives you to eat." He gave the meats, the wines, and they're like, "No. Hey, we don't want to eat that. That's not how we were raised. Our family, the way we worship, we do not eat these things." And how do you think that went? Do you think it was easy? But they stayed faithful. They stayed faithful to God. The people there, they were probably making fun of them. "Really? You're not going to eat this? You're going to look pale. You're not going to look good. What, are you going to eat rabbit's food? Is that what you're going to eat?" They're going to make fun of them. "What, are you drinking that juice? What's that juice going to be? Carrot juice. What is that? Eat this pig. You know, drink the wine." No, they made fun of them. You guys, this is the same stuff you're going to face in college. You're going to face similar things, and people are going to make fun of you for not drinking, for not smoking. They're going to try to get you to do things that you were not raised to do. And God will bless you if you stay faithful. You guys just have to stay faithful and God will bless you. And that's exactly what here. After 10 days, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, they came back. Guess what? They were healthier than everyone. They were smarter than everyone. They tested better than everyone. God blessed them. Then, you know, they started to stand out. You know, maybe their skin was a little bit more orange because all the carrot juice. I don't know, but they stood out. But they stayed faithful to God. That's what you guys have to do. Stay faithful. Now back to the story. So here they are. They lean on their foundation. They're like, "You know what? We're not going to do that." The trumpet plays. Burr, burr, makes that noise. Thanks, Balloon. That was your cue. But anyway, the trumpet plays. Everybody bows down. Everybody's bowing down. And the guys next to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, he picked a good time to go on vacation. He wasn't there. So there they are, standing there amongst thousands of people. People next to him are like, "Yo, Obed, just bow down. You guys, bow down. Everybody likes you guys. Bow down. Just worship your God. Nobody's going to know. trying to tempt them just to do, just to bow down, go along with everyone else. But they didn't. They stayed faithful to God. So there's King Nebuchadnezzar. He's over there, all proud of himself. He's looking out, all these people bowing down, to the glorious thing he just made. But then, the bad influence around him, the tattletales, they're like, look what they say. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom are you have set over the affair of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image that you have set up. Now the king is, he's mad. He's embarrassed. Here we have these Hebrew guys standing, not worshiping, not doing what I'm doing, what I asked them to do. So what does he do? He's like, you know what? Man, I like those guys though, but they're being defiant. So he tells his muscle. He tells his guards, Hans and Franz, go get those boys. Bring them over here. So they go out there. They grab them. They're taking them back. Oh, man, you guys made the king upset. You better think of something to say. Brings them back to the king. The king's like, look, you guys better bow down and worship what I created. You're not going to embarrass me. It's not going to happen again. If you guys don't bow down and worship what I have just created, I'm going to throw you in the fire because you're not going to embarrass me again. So what do you think they did? They had to lean on their foundation. And they stood firm. They didn't try to weasel out of anything. They were bold in what they said. Look what they say here in verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's like, your God can't save you. He's not going to save you guys. When you go in, you're going to burn. They're like, if our God wants to save us, he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you have set up. That's bold, guys. That's bold. You got to stand up. We're not going to do it. God could save us, but even if he doesn't, we're going to stand for truth. And we will perish knowing that we served our God. We did not waver. The king's infuriated. He's not going to be upset anymore. I mean, he's so upset. He says, make that fire 7 times hotter. Has the guards bind their hands. They grab them, take them in, and they throw them into the fire. It's so hot, the guards fall down and die. Done. The king, he didn't want to have to do it. But he had to make an example. I mean, he had put them in position of high power because they were so trustworthy, but he was not going to be embarrassed. So he threw them in the fire. But then, look what happens. Verse 25, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. The ropes were burned off. Their clothes were still there. They'd even smell like smoke. God, because they were faithful to God, God was faithful to them and saved them. But what I really want you guys to look at here in verse 25, this is really important. And the form, when the king saw, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You guys, how did this heathen king know what the Son of God looked like? How did he know that? He's heathen. He doesn't worship them. Look what Prophets and Kings says about this issue. This is really interesting. It's important. Look what it says. The Hebrew captives filling positions of trust in Babylon had in life and character represented before him the truth. Plainly and simply, they had presented the principles of righteousness, thus teaching those around them of the God whom they worship. They had told of Christ, the Redeemer, to come. And in the form of the fourth, in the midst of the fire, the king recognized the Son of God. Guys, that's so powerful, because as you embark on your next journey, you're in college. The way you dress, the way you talk, are you going to reflect God's character? Are the people around you going to recognize God through you? When you go, the places you go, what you say, what you eat, what you drink, it's so important, you guys. Everything you do will reflect the light of Christ through you. Everybody's going to get you try to do things that they're going to call fun. And that's just what college people do. We have examples right here. They stayed faithful, you guys. If you stay faithful, God will make your path straight. You lean on that foundation your parents have given you. You lean on that foundation your church has given you. You lean on that foundation the school has given you. God will reward you and keep you safe. You know, you're going to go away to college. And it's hard. Your parents, everybody's going to be crying tomorrow. I know it. I'll probably be crying. You're going to be going to college. We want the best for you. Every single one of us want the best for you. But society's going to tell you, you want to get ahead? You want a good job? You're going to have to step on people. You're going to have to do anything you can to get ahead in life. But will you be reflecting God's character when you do those things? I know for me as a parent, I know your parents feel the same way, the school feels the same way, the teachers probably feel the same way, everybody feels this way. It does not matter. We want you to be successful. We want each one of you to be successful, but to not to the point where you're putting God to the side. We want you to reflect God in everything you do. I honestly do not care what job you have. I do not care how much money is going to be in your bank account. I do not care how you're going to dress. I do not care about all these worldly things. I care what we want. What we want. At the end, you know what all that matters, you guys? In the end, the only thing that matters is that we're all going to be in heaven together. That, as a parent, that is the only thing. We have given you the tools. We've given you the foundation to help you get there. But it's going to come down to a choice. And we pray, and we will continue to pray, you guys continue to make the right choice. Because heaven is the goal. We're all very proud of you. I want to thank you for letting us be here today. And if you guys ever need anything, your church family is going to be there. The school family is going to be there. Sharice and I will be there. Feel free to call. But never waver away from your foundation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for each one of the students up here. Lord, they mean so much to us. We pray for them daily. We wish them the best, and we pray that we gave them the best foundation possible. We pray that they will lean on you in every situation they face, and that you will not waver, and you will, if they stay faithful to you, that you will protect them, Lord. Bless each one of them, and please bless their future. In your holy name, amen.
No need for a double prayer, but I just want to tell you on behalf of Central, we're all proud of you guys. And life is full of choices. What a tremendous message. Thank you. Thank you so much, Matthew. We've all made choices as adults, and some of those choices have led us to a sweet feeling in our hearts, and some of those choices have led us to the bitterness of those consequences. We pray that, as the proverb says, that you guys will commit your way to God, and he'll lead you to make the right choices, so that in the end, as Matthew has said, we will all be in heaven together. Let me just have another little prayer for you, okay? Father, we thank you so much for the call to life. We are so thankful, Lord, because of the words written that says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Lord, I pray for these young people that as they embark upon this great world that you have created, there is still evidence of your love, Lord, both in nature and in the heart of men and women. I pray, Lord, as they see that, they will see Christ, and may it ever be a reminder that there is a heaven to win and a hell to shun. I pray, Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will give them and equip them with the strength to make the right choice. And with each choice, Lord, each right choice that is made, may they find the peaceable fruit of holiness, Lord, and the satisfaction that comes from standing on truth. Bless them and guide them, Lord, and as parents, as churches, as friends, brothers and sisters, may we always be here as a family, united for one purpose, to shun that which is evil and to embrace that which is good. It is our prayer with thanksgiving today. Thank you for the words that we've spoken, Lord, and for inspiring our speaker. This is what we ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.